Hey, good morning, Alive. Good to hear. I'm going to miss that intro, by the way. Everybody needs intro music, man. They get a little pep in your step. It's great. Brand new series starting next week, but it's great to have you here today with us, whether you're worshiping here in this space or you're worshiping with us online on one of our campuses. Let's just pray and ask God to unite our hearts and speak to us all as we gather today. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to worship you, to hear from you, Lord. And God, I pray today as we gather together that we wouldn't just meet for the sake of meeting, but Lord, we'd open our hearts, open our minds for what you would have for us today, Lord. May we leave this space today knowing that we have met with the Father, and we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So great to be here with you today. Great to have you here as we close out this series called Guess Who. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at characters in the Bible with fascinating stories. And what I'm hoping is that we understand is that how their story resonates with our story. And that's what we've been trying to do. And over the last several weeks, we've been focusing on some prophets. You know, these people who God would speak to, the prophets, and the prophet would give the word to the people. Well, today, the character we're going to talk about is not a prophet. In fact, there's really not a whole lot of information about this particular person, but what we do see about him is deep. I mean, it's pretty significant. And what we do see right off the bat is that this was a person who wholeheartedly followed after God. Like, he put all of his trust into God. And what we see is the benefits of one's life that decides, I'm going to trust in God with everything that I have. We see this in his story. And because he wholeheartedly followed after God and because he trusted in God, he had this moral resolve that really would bring him peace in the most chaotic of times, in the most frightening of times. He didn't lose his cool. He had a peace. And because he trusted in God and wholeheartedly followed after God, he had a confidence about him that would shut out the lies of the enemies. In other words, he wouldn't listen to what the world was saying. He wouldn't compromise because of popular belief or culture or whatever. He wouldn't listen to the culture. In fact, the culture would begin to listen to him. And because he trusted in God and wholeheartedly followed after God, he was empowered. He was strengthened. He found a new strength to fulfill everything that God had promised for him. He did not miss out on God's blessing because he simply chose to trust in God. And when we look at his story today, we're going to look at what does it truly mean to trust in God as we see it played out in this story. Now, his name is Caleb. If you had Caleb in the Guess Who pool, congratulations, you win a prize. I don't even know what the prize is. We're going to talk about Caleb today. And he is first mentioned in the book of Numbers, although his story starts much earlier than that. Caleb and his family were part of the Israelites that were in captivity in Egypt. He was part of the Exodus that Moses led them out of captivity. He was part of that generation that came out of captivity, and Moses led them through the wilderness. And now they're standing on the border of Canaan, the land where milk and honey flows, the land that was to be their inheritance, the land that was the promised land. This is it. Their long journey, their long wait, they're wandering around in the wilderness, and they're standing on the brink. They actually can see the land that was promised to them. Now, before they go into this land, God tells Moses, I want you to send out some spies to check out the land. You got to get the lay of the land. You got to figure these things out. And so I want you to choose 12 spies, and they chose 12, one man from each of the tribes of Israel. And Caleb is a part of that. He's from the tribe of Judah. Now, if you know anything about that, that's the same tribe that would give us David. It's actually the same line of Judah that would give us the Messiah, Jesus himself. So this is the lineage of Caleb. And so here they are. They're standing there, and they're going in. And so these 12 spies, they went into the land, and they spent 40 days just doing some reconnaissance, just checking out the land, just seeing what it was. And they came back, and they give this report to Moses. And they're like, it's everything God said it would be. I mean, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I don't know. I've never seen flowing milk and honey, but it must be pretty attractive, right? I mean, it must be something pretty good. And he said, no, the land flows with milk and honey. It's so fruitful. It's so beautiful. The water is crystal clear. This is everything that God had promised for us. It's true. Everything he said about this land is fantastic, but there's just one problem. There's something that's in the way. Look at their response in Numbers chapter 13. It says, but the people living there, they're powerful. There's some occupants in the land that God promised us. And their towns are large and fortified, and we saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, that's pretty significant. I mean, the Anaks, they were actually no ordinary people. They were believed to be a formidable giant race. Like, they were believed to be warlike, experienced in battle, knowing how to fight. They were no ordinary people. They were believed to be just these incredible warriors. And these are the people that are standing between God's promise and God's people. And doesn't that always seem to be the case? Doesn't it always seem that something's standing in the way of everything that God has for us? Like, and that's the heart of today's message. Question is, what's standing in the way between you and everything that God has for you? You could be here this morning, and you could be listening this morning, and maybe you feel like whatever that is that's in between you and God's promise for you is just an impossible situation. Maybe for some of you, it's a broken relationship, and someone hurt you or wounded you, and you just don't know if you can survive or get over that, and I just don't know how I can get up. Maybe for some of you, it's a broken belief system, like, well, I tried God, God didn't work for me, or I tried the church, and the church let me down, or I can't believe this pastor did this, or these people did that, and maybe it's a broken belief system, and it just seems impossible. Maybe for some of you, it's a control issue. It's like, look, I love God, I believe in God, I'll come here on Sundays, I'll even tithe, but every day of the week, 24/7, trusting in God. I don't know if I can just let go of that. Maybe that's what's standing. Whatever the reason is, I hope today you'll begin to trust God through it all, just as we see Caleb do when we look at his story. So they're back from this recon. They're back from this secret mission of spying out the land, and they give this report. It's great land, but there's some people inside of it. And we see the 10 of the 12 spies, they're not having it. They're afraid. They're worried. They see that there's some strong people. And by the way, for good reason, it is believed that the descendants of Anak are the Philistines, you know, the giants that David fought. So, I mean, you can see how they would be overwhelmed. And it has 10 of the 12 spies shaking in their sandals. Like, they're scared. And they give Moses a warning, like we cannot. I know God promised us this, but we cannot go take this land. There's no way we can do it. But not Caleb. No, Caleb, he's as cool as the other side of the pillow, right? Come on, you know. he's so collective. He's so calm. And Joshua is right there in agreement with him. But it would be Caleb who would just remain this level of coolness, this level of peace. Look at his response in Numbers chapter 13. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Hey, God, settle down. Settle down. I know I saw the same thing you saw. But listen, we should go take possession of this land, for we can certainly do it. And with this, we get this first glimpse of this man named Caleb. And what we know about him is that he trusted God wholeheartedly. And because of that trust, we see that he would actually align his life with God. Because he chose to trust God, I'm going to align everything with God. How I see things, how I respond to things, how I react to things, how I make decisions, where I go, what I decide to do. I'm going to align my worldview to God Almighty. Now, if you were here last week or you heard Pastor Tom's message about the prophet Amos, then you would learn that God has a standard. Well, actually, God doesn't have a standard. God is the standard. He is the plumb line. Pastor Tom showed us last week this plumb line. He's the plumb line, and he invites all of us to align ourselves up to him, to shift our ways to his way. I'm going to align myself to God's standard. And the reason that God is the plumb line is because God is truth. And from him is where justice flows. And so from this week, as we close out this series and we look at the story of Caleb, we're going to actually see what that looks like. I mean, what does it look like to align myself to God's way? For Caleb, he decided somewhere along the way that God is who he says he is and will do all that he has promised to do. And because of that, I'm taking all the chips of my life, everything that I have, and I'm pushing him right to the middle, and I'm betting on God. I'm taking everything that I have, all my choices, all my family, all my decisions, all my directions, everything that I have, I'm taking all the chips, and I'm going to push them to the middle, and I'm going to go all in on God because I'm believing that the risk is not greater than the reward. I'm going to trust God. And this is what I hope you get to this place today, that you understand that you trusting God, that the reward is greater than the risk. And when we take a look at Caleb's story, we see the things that he received simply because he trusted God. He trusted God, and we see these things. The first thing that we find is this, that trusting God actually brings peace even in the midst of trouble. And this is such a good truth because there's always going to be trouble. Until Jesus comes back, we're going to have trouble. This world is broken, you understand. It's not the way that God created it to be. Sin entered this world and it broke this world, and there's always going to be troubles. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be something standing between you and everything that God has promised for you. And the question we have today is, are we going to focus on the problem, or are we going to focus on the promise? What are we going to set our eyes on? And we know what the 10 spies set their eyes on. Like, we saw their report. We see what they were for. They were focused on the problems, right? They were like, hey, these people are powerful. Like they're experienced warriors. They're great in battle. There's no way. There's no way that we can beat them. No, we just can't do it. These cities are large. There's too many of them. We'll be outnumbered. There's no way we can fight these guys. In fact, these cities are not only are they large, they're fortified. They got walls around them. We can't even approach them. We literally will be banging our heads against the wall. There's no way that we could break through. There's no way we can even get to them. And besides that, they're giants. We look like grasshoppers. Like, there's no way that we can do this, Moses. We can't do this. Their focus is on the problems. Caleb, he saw the very same thing that the others saw, but he chose a different perspective. Why? Because he's trusting in God Almighty. And he has a different view. Maybe he just remembers that God, the God that brought them out of captivity. Maybe he could remember the 10 plagues and the power of God just on display. Maybe he could remember the Red Sea and how God parted that Red Sea, and him and his family crossed through on dry ground. And when the Egyptians came in, God caused the sea to close up and swallow them all. Maybe he would remember that. Maybe he would remember how God would lead them through the wilderness, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, just leading them every day. Maybe he would remember how they would wake up every morning and there would be food on the ground providing for them sustenance to live life. Whatever the case, Caleb had his mind set on God. And because of that, he trusted in God, even in the midst of his troubles, and he had a peace about him. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way, Isaiah 26, he says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Now, I love looking at scripture and seeing what it says. Like, we read that, we see what it says. I also like looking at scripture and seeing what it doesn't say. What's it not saying? It's not saying, you keep him in perfect peace who has everything figured out. You keep him in perfect peace who has no trouble, who has no worries, who has no problems, who has no issues, who has no difficulties. No, that's not what it says. Listen, the word of God tells us where peace in troubling times is to be found. It's never found in trying to figure God out. We just can't do it. For the Israelites, it was like, God, you said this was our promised land, yet there are people in the promised land. How can we receive what you said was ours if someone already has it? Come on, God, what are you trying to do to us? Where are you trying to lead us? What are you up to? What do you want us to do? Listen, it doesn't work that way. maybe for us, is God, you said you would be with me. Yeah, I'm still going through difficult times. I still feel so overwhelmed right now. Why are these things happening to me, God? Where are you? What are you up to? Listen, peace is not found in trying to figure out what God is up to. Peace is not found in our attempts to control circumstances or people. That's crazy to think that we could do that, right? I mean, to think that the only way I'm going to have peace is to get all of y'all to be in agreement with me. Right? I mean, really, how absurd is that to think that the only way that I could be at peace, the only way I can have no problems, if I can get everybody in this world just to see the way the thing I see the things and be in agreement of the things that I be in agreement with? How absurd is it to think that the only way that I can have peace is if every circumstance, every situation, everything that happens in this world lines up with what I need it to line up? Like if I can just control every circumstance, if I can get all the green lights to get to work, right? If I can miss all the traffic, if I can miss all the lines, if I can not deal with people, like it's just absurd. That's not where peace is found. Peace is found in trusting the one who controls all things, even the things that we don't understand. Peace is found in the one who knows how everything is going to play out. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but nothing's ever occurred to God. Right? He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised by anything. He knows all things, and because he knows all things, then I can put my trust in him. How do you experience remarkable peace? The kind of peace that doesn't fade away when disappointment comes, that doesn't fade away when difficult people are being difficult or when circumstances get hard. You experience it by keeping your mind set on the Lord. I'm telling you, the more you meditate on his glory, his power, his wisdom, his grace, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his patience, his zeal to redeem, his commitment to his eternal promise to you. The more you focus on that, the greater chance you have, the greater opportunity you have to face the giants in your life. Why is that? Because peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God in the midst of your problems. I'm trusting in God, and I'm going to worship the one who has everything figured out. And Caleb, remember that. He knows who God is. Caleb trusted, and it brought him this incredible peace. He had this moral resolve about him that God was in control. But he also had this confidence. He had this confidence that would protect him from the lies of the enemies. Like he wasn't going to listen to what the world was. He wasn't going to listen to the lies of the world that tried to get into his head. And this is a pretty interesting part of the story. Listen, trusting in God shuts out the lies of the enemy. And when we look back at this story, there's something very interesting that takes place here. Now, we know their positions, right? So Caleb's like, no, we got this land. We can take it. We certainly can do it. Let's go get what's ours. God said we could have it. And the other 10 spies were like, no, we can't do this, right? We're too small, we're too big, they're too big, we're like grasshoppers, they're too large, the cities are fortified. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. Verse 33, it says, this is the 10 spies talking. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Wait, what? How do you know what they thought about you? Why are you believing this? You're a spy on a secret mission. Your goal is not to be seen. Your goal is just to observe. How do you know that that's how they see you too? Listen, they are convinced that they're as small as grasshoppers, but not only that, they are convinced that that's how they see us as well. And if I can be honest with you this morning, I believe if we were truthful with ourselves, this probably resonates with more than us than we'd like to admit. The truth is that God has given you a promise. He has spoken truth over you. He has revealed some things to you. He has a purpose for your life. But maybe for some of us, maybe for some of you, you feel like you're so far from it. Maybe for some of you, you feel like it's so much out of reach. And the reason being, we don't believe that we can achieve or amount to the thing that God has called us to, because we feel small. We feel insignificant. Or sometimes maybe that obstacle in front of us is so big, so large, so difficult, we just end up thinking, who am I? That's the enemy getting in your head and selling you a bunch of lies, telling you, you can't do this. This will never work out for you. This is too big for you. You're too small. But understand this morning. If it's a promise from God, it's for you. What would be cool is if we actually knew what the Canaanites thought of the Israelites. And we actually do know what they were thinking. If you fast forward this story to Joshua chapter 2, in Joshua chapter 2, it's the story of the Battle of Jericho. Now, if you grew up in church and Sunday school and VBS, you know this. March around the city, the seventh day, the walls come tumbling down, right? Great little story there. What you may not realize is this is the first battle for the Israelites to go in and take the promised land. This is the first battle. And much like before the battle, they sent in some spies. And the spies that they sent in actually found this woman named Rahab and had a very interesting conversation with Rahab. Joshua chapter 2 says this: before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with him. "I know the Lord has given you this land. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you and through the Red Sea." Wait a minute. They think we're grasshoppers. That's not true. That's just a lie of the enemy. That's the lie of getting into your head. Now, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to get in your eye, in your head. Listen, the enemy has power. Meaning this, he can trick you. He can deceive you. Like, he can manipulate situations just to get in your head. But the truth of the matter is, he's just a liar. In fact, the only weapon that the enemy has, the only weapon that the devil has, is he's a liar. That's it. That's all he has. Now, he's really, really good at it. And that's his mission. But he has, so he has this power, but he has no authority. He can't come through with what he's telling you. Jesus took all authority when he went to the cross and died for our sins. And the enemy knows this. And to be honest, he is terrified of you because he knows who God is and what God has done. The only authority that the enemy has is the authority that you are giving him. And he's just hoping that you will fall for one of these lies, because he knows if you do, you're going to miss out on all that God has promised for you. Caleb trusted in God. And therefore, he's not going to listen to the lies of the world, to the lies of the enemy. In fact, he would just come back with this greater resolve. Look what he says of his response. He says, "They said to all the people," this is Joshua and Caleb, "the land we travel through and explored is wonderful land. And it is the Lord, and if the Lord is pleased with us," in other words, if I choose to trust God, God have favor on me. He's going to be pleased with me. "He will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord." In other words, don't trust other things. Don't turn your back on God. Don't be afraid. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us, so do not be afraid of them. I love it. Caleb trusted God, and it brought him this peace. Now, listen, the trouble didn't go away. The giants were still there, but he didn't panic. He kept his heart stayed on God. He trusted God, and he had this confidence about him. He wasn't going to buy the lies of the enemy. And finally, we see that Caleb trusted God, and it empowered him to fulfill all that God had promised for him. And that's the third truth I want to share with you this morning. That when we trust in God, it actually empowers you to fulfill all that God has for us. It actually brings us back to the question I started with. What's standing between you and where God wants you to go? What's standing between you and everything that God has promised? If we trust him, we will be empowered. In other words, you will find strength where you didn't think you had strength. Like you can actually get to the sweet spot of life where you're living life with purpose. If we go back to the story, you'll see that God is not pleased with the 10 spies. In fact, he's even more disappointed with the Israelites. And because of their lack of faith, because they chose not to trust God, they would not be permitted to enter the promised land. You hear that? They missed out on the promised land. They missed out on the very purpose that God had set foot for them. In fact, what's really sad about it is they would die in the wilderness. It's pretty sad when you think about it. At the time of the Exodus, the Bible says there were 600,000 men that Moses led out of the captivity. You add women and children to that, that's over 1 million people. And only two made it into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. Of that generation, they missed out. They didn't trust God, and so they didn't find that strength to be empowered to take hold of that for which God took hold of them. And I love Caleb's account of this. Caleb's account of this is found in Joshua chapter 14. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. So he's 40 years old when he goes on that mission with the 12 spies. I returned and I gave an honest report. I saw everything that they saw, but I believed in all my heart that we could do this, that we could certainly take this land. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. He scared them to death, and they missed out on it. But I wholeheartedly followed the Lord, my God, and we capture the heart of Caleb right here. He says, no, I know what I was up against. I know what was in front of me, but I wholeheartedly trusted God. And because of that, we keep reading. As you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well. What's significant about that? Because everyone else is dead. And I love how he says this. He says, I'm alive, and I'm not just alive, but I'm well. I'm empowered by my faith. I'm empowered by trusting in God. I'm not just surviving, I'm thriving. Yeah, I'm out here in the wilderness, but God is with me, and I'm thriving. As he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made the promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. So even while he's in the wilderness, he's alive and well. Today, I love this part. I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel, and I can still fight. Come on, somebody. 85 years old, and I got the power, the strength of the Lord in my life. That's what trusting in God does. When you allow yourself to align yourself up to him, you will find strength. Strength you didn't know that you had. Caleb trusted God. And because of this, he is empowered. He is strengthened to take hold of that which God had promised him. And by the way, those giants, they're still in the land. But strengthened by his commitment and his trust in God, Caleb, at the age of 85, was able to defeat the enemy that was standing between him and God's promise. Look at the words of Isaiah. It says, but those who trust in the Lord. This word trust in the Hebrew, the original language, is kavah. Now, you got to get a little phlegm in the back of your throat. I'm not very good at that. It's kavah. The literal translation of that is to wait with an expectation. It's not wishful thinking. It's not wondering if something's going to happen. No, I know that this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. That's what the word means. It's like if you're at a traffic light and that traffic light is red, and so you stop and you wait. And the reason you're waiting is because you know it's red, but it's going to be green. Like there's an expectation. This light's going to turn. It's just a matter of time. That's the word. That's what kavah means. That's why sometimes in translations you'll see those who wait on the Lord, or those who hope in the Lord. The prophet is saying, listen, those who kavah, wait on God with an expectation that he's going to come through, you will find new strength. And I know some of you here this morning, you're tired, you're weary, you're worn out, You're saying, if something else happens to me or comes my way, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to survive it. I feel like I'm going to collapse. Those who trust get new strength. You align yourself up to God. You trust in God wholeheartedly. And all of a sudden, you'll have a capacity to do things you didn't think you had. You'll have a capacity to love the unlovable. You'll have the capacity to forgive the unforgivable. You'll have the capacity to give and be generous and to be kind in all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of situations. You will find new strength. You will soar high on wings like eagles, wings meaning you will rise above that situation. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. What does that mean? It means, listen, you may not get over it, but you will get through it. And you'll be stronger on the other side. As we bring this to a close, and listen, as we look at the story of Caleb, and my prayer is this, that we don't just read this story of Caleb, we let this story of Caleb read us. I mean, where do I need to trust God? What chips do I need to push to the middle of the table and just say, I'm going to bet on God because the risk is not as great as the reward? What's standing between you and everything that God has for you? I don't know if you ever thought about what God wants from you. Like, what does God really want from me? What does he expect from me? What is he asking for me to do? I don't know if you ever thought what God is searching for in you. We actually know. Second Chronicles says it this way. The eyes of the Lord search for the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose heart is fully committed. He's looking for men and women who would stand up and be a Caleb. So I'm going to trust God. I'm going to wholeheartedly trust God, and he's looking to strengthen this. Listen, when you look at the story of the Bible, like from start to finish, you would see that God would raise people up in a particular way. He would find an individual, he would reveal himself to that individual, and then he would give that individual an opportunity to respond. He did it all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. You see it. He did it with Abraham. He revealed himself to Abraham, and he gives Abraham an opportunity to respond. He did it with Moses. He revealed himself to Moses and gives Moses an opportunity to respond. We see today that Caleb had an opportunity to respond. And you can go all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. You can actually go to this day. God reveals himself to me and to you. He makes his truth known. He makes his promise known to all of us. And the question is, will you respond? What's standing in the way between you and all of God has promised for you? Will you trust him in that manner? I'm not sure where you are this morning. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond as maybe perhaps God is revealing himself to you. Right outside these doors to the right, we have a prayer room. We have counselors in there ready to meet with you and pray with you. If you're here this morning and you don't, maybe I just need to trust God with my life, and maybe it's a first-time decision. You can talk to those counselors, or you can text the word rooted to Matthew 13 Project. This actually goes to Pastor Tom, and he'll respond right away and get you set on the journey. You can see that on the screen. But maybe God is speaking to you this morning, and he's asking, where can you trust me all the more? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this story. We thank you for what it represents and what it means, Lord. And God, I pray that you, as you begin to reveal yourself to us, Lord, that we would just get honest with ourselves. And maybe for some of us here this morning, our lives are so chaotic and we're panicking and we're so fearful. God, would you give us a sense of peace as we begin to trust you? God, maybe some of us, we've bought the lies of the world and we just feel so insignificant. We feel so small. Maybe we feel like grasshoppers. God, as we begin to trust you, would you shut out the lies of the enemies? Maybe some here this morning are just so tired of fighting a battle that you already won. So as we trust in you in whatever area of our life, may we be strengthened, Lord. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself and that we would respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.